Hi, this is the Reverend Kim Mendoza, the pastoral resident here at First Presbyterian Church in Libertyville. I am so excited to introduce the Bread for the Journey podcast series. This podcast series is in partnership with our Stewardship Committee's Spiritual Practice Campaign for this Lenten season. The hope for this podcast is to invite you all to spend time reflecting with us on what God has done and continues to do in the life of the church through the sharing of stories. So for each episode, we will have guests come on and share the bread that has been helpful for their journey. Then we will reflect together on scripture and talk more about a spiritual practice we can apply together for our weeks ahead. This week, I will be having a conversation with Carol Braunschweig, an elder of our session and member of the Stewardship Committee. I'll have Carol introduce herself, but in my own words, Carol is bright, bringing so much energy and enthusiasm in all she does. Together, we will reflect on her own bread for the journey. So I invite you now to open your hearts and minds to hear what God has to share with you today. Hi, Carol.
Hello, Kim.
Thank you for coming on to this podcast. I'm going to have us start with you introducing yourself and who you are in the church, outside of the church, and maybe one word that would describe your Lenten journey so far. Do we start with that?
Sure. So we've been a member at First Press for about 26 years now. We moved here in 96 and we joined a smaller, different church for about a year and a half, and then we switched over. I walked into the church, went to the first church service and knew that I fit, and we joined immediately thereafter. I will say my time in the church now is quite different than it was when I first started. When I first started, I was a mother of two teenage kids, and I had a very full-time job, and I really didn't have much time other than just to come to church. And once I always loved coming into the church and listening to the sermons and the music. But I didn't even really get to know too many people. I was a skimmer. I kind of liked the invisible status, coming in, getting my spiritual bolt in the arm, and then scooting out. And it wasn't until, I joined a book club first with some women that were reading short stories, and that was wonderful. It was just once a month. And then I joined the Wednesday morning Bible study, I want to say 15 years ago. And I really didn't have time for it. But as soon as I joined that, I started realizing, at First Press, you can ask questions and you won't be smited. You won't end up going to the devil. The first time that because I had a lot of questions and I was always frightened to say them because I didn't know if they were theologically sound. I don't know. I just was. And that wasn't the case at all. And it might not have been in other churches, but this church made me feel like I could ask them. And that Bible study did. And then it was just sort of snowballing after that. I just kept stepping up, looking for opportunities that felt like it fit my personality. So that's really, I'm retired. I've been 4 years retired now and enjoying it very much.
Nice.
I like to garden. I like to knit. I love to read. I like coming to church and getting involved with the things that we do here. And it changes, it mixes up. I mean, I just kind of something I'll hit and then I'll be involved with that. And then I'll add on something more. So yeah, my Lent journey. I will say that being on stewardship and when it was decided that we were going to add on to this Bread for the Journey, suddenly I became very immersed in reading about Lent and sacrifice and trying to come up with the little blurb that I did on Sunday. And that,
yeah,
I am not trained in theology. I will tell you, I taught in nutrition for 40 years and I know what I'm doing that. And I could feel very comfortable up there talking about it, but I know that I know nothing. I have no formal theologic training. And that's why I rely on coming to church to learn from those who have training and the other experiences that people have had. But I dove deep into reading about Lent and trying to come up with generosity and the giving from the heart. So that's how I started with a bang. And that has really been kind of an unexpectedly wonderful way to start. Because I got up on a lot of the scriptures and I started to think, well, what makes me, what, How can I deliver a message that might infect other people with how I've been infected? And that's really what started, and where I'm squarely in right now with my Lenten journey is, how do I share the joy of giving that I feel from my heart? And really, it's not the amount, that has nothing to do with it. It's the giving from the heart, learning to see from the heart. And then when you put your financial resources into it, what you get, there's a joy that breaks out. It just does. And I can't explain it more than words. And it's, I'm lousy at words at it. But that's sort of thinking about feeling that and trying to convey it to people. That's really where I've been at so far. We're only a week and a half in. Oh, yesterday was a week in.
Yeah. So oh, I'm sure it'll Carol. Change, yeah. Carol, that was such a rich answer. And I know that the listeners right now probably can't see the joy that is exuding from your face as you kind of recounted and told a story about how you came to First Press and where you are now as part of the stewardship committee. And it's so interesting because as a member of the committee, you are kind of forced to think about Lent sooner, right, than the rest of us. Because you are trying to present and help lead the spiritual practice campaign from stewardship. So we'll put a bookmark in the stewardship campaign. Okay. And I kind of want to take us back a little bit to Wednesday, as you mentioned, when we started Lent. And Pastor mm-hmm. Amy, if you were there on Ash Wednesday, I know you and I were there. She described this season of Lent as a time of rigorous transformation, a pilgrimage through our spiritual wilderness to the cross. And she said, the wilderness, literally and metaphorically, is the place to slow down, even stop, and just be still in quiet solitude, away from the distractions and comforts of our normal, busy, noisy lives. And although this might sound like a vacation, as Pastor Amy said, it's anything but a vacation, because the wilderness calls us to the hardest internal soul work. Mm-hmm. So you kind of hinted at this as you told your story about these hard questions and the questions that you were scared to ask, but when you came to First Pres, that fear kind of went away. So I'm wondering if you could talk more about that time, or maybe just a time in the wilderness and how that was like for you.
Yeah. So I guess I try to dedicate a concerted period of time, somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes, always a day, to just be quiet and listen and feel. Because, and if I don't, the day just gets scattery and it sort of grounds me. So I try to do it in the morning, but if I don't, then I do it in the end of the day. And I have a friend who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the ripe old age of 30. Oh, and she went to a therapist. She found the diagnosis on her 30th birthday. And she went to a therapist because she was feeling very, why me? And the therapist said, why not you? And she said to her, you have to take time to sit and meditate and pray every day. And she said, she's got a big job. She was PharmD and leading huge things. She said, I don't always have time during the day. And she said, go in the ladies' room, shut the door and make the time. You need the time. And she said that to me years ago. And that's something that I've cultivated over the last, for sure since 2020. I've started to do that routinely. And that's huge. My biggest wilderness experience that I've talked about on Wednesday morning, but I know I've never talked about it in church. But the day I knew it as a kid when I was young. I remember looking out stained glass windows in the church that we went to as a family and thinking, oh, God's there, and thinking, oh, I'm loved. I was maybe 5 or 6. But the time as an adult, my husband had lost his job. We'd had my oldest daughter's 43. She was a year and a half. And I was working part-time. Mm-hmm. I had it just where I wanted it. I had a nice part-time job, didn't make much money. I was sort of teaching. And I had this dream. I was going to get pregnant with number two. And it was Michigan. And it was 1982, 25% unemployment rates. I mean, it was crazy. He couldn't get a job. And it was obvious there were healthcare jobs and I could get a full-time job. I was so mad. This was not what I wanted to do. Just angry. And I remember just, of course, being like a child because I was so young and being so mad at my husband. And he didn't get fired. He got laid off. Mm-hmm. It was an irrational childlike reaction because it's my dream and you're stealing my dream. I remember thinking, what's going to happen? Is this the end? What's going to happen? And I remember looking in, we had this tiny house with one pink bathroom. I remember looking in the mirror and knowing that God loved me. And it was just like, just relaxed. It's like the very first time as an adult, I felt that. So that was a Lenten journey that I was at. And that happened in the springtime of the year. That it's like, it'll be okay. God loves me. So that's a wilderness.
Wow.
But that, and it did all work out. I mean, it worked out magnificently in ways that I never would have predicted. So, but that was a time that I can talk about. That's a fair game now. It's far enough distance where I can say it. And I'm also secure enough in saying, I did have an aha moment when I knew God was saying right there, you're loved, baby.
Yes. Oh, Carol, you know, you name so much. I think you name a truth that it's hard to talk about wilderness journeys when it's so fresh.
It's kind of private. I talk to God about it, but I don't just get out there and talk about it. Yeah.
Yes. And it is so valid. And those stories are so, they're meant to be protected at a time and kept close to our heart for you and God to have those conversations and to grow together first before you grow in community. And sometimes, you know, it's the opposite. You grow with community and then you grow with God. But from your story, we learned that you really had some one-on-one time with God, and your husband, David, was also part of it, but, you know, might have been.
You know, it's funny. He is a PK. So his dad, his faith is so deep and through every cell. I tell you that the man never has doubt. He never has questions. It's all just, his parents lived it, and they were just the most giving people. The quintessential Christians in everything. They were their brother's keepers. They laughed their heads off. They were filled with joy. She was musical. He was this magnificent minister, way ahead of his time. And so it's just there. It was, I mean, really, in truth, it was part of the allure that I saw in him.
I know, that's so sweet and so beautiful.
David,
he is you're kind of describing him as this rock in the midst of, and you know, sometimes it comes in a spouse, sometimes it comes in our friends and family. And kind of going off of that comment, you can either talk from this time or just in general, just more people in your life who have been that encouragement and nourishment, that bread for the journey, for you to keep going.
Yeah. Certainly the church. I have to qualify. Absolutely. First Press is just huge. My sister, my goodness, we're connected at the hips. We're 18 months apart, and you know, we're on the phone. Sometimes it's three times a day, but we're constant contact. I also am lucky enough to have some really good friends here in town, and also lifetime friends that I've had since I was a kid. So I have friends and support. And I have two magnificent daughters that live within 20 minutes of here, and five grandkids. So I am a lucky lady. That's all there is to it. I have been gifted with much. So I would say all of those are bred for the journey. But I'm not going to understate the power of regular involvement with this church. I have to credit it with just the building that it's done for me. And it's a great church. It's a phenomenal church.
So yeah, do you want to say more about just what programs, or because you mentioned you're in a Bible study group, and
study 7:30 to 8:30. It's all Zoom. Please, anybody that's listening, consider joining. It's a low level commitment with high yield. That's the only way I can describe it. And it's always, always joy filled. People listen, laugh. Sometimes there's tears. Sometimes it's just a time of sharing. So that's a wonder. And you learn a lot. These people know a lot.
yes.
Let's see. When I was not as old and had more strength, I loved helping with the food pantry breakfast that we did with the deacons. Anybody that hasn't gotten involved, I loved being a deacon. I'm on elders now, and that, when I got asked to join this last summer, I remember thinking, I don't have the bandwidth for this. I don't think I can be an elder. I don't know anything. How can I possibly be an elder? I'm so glad I did it, because I just thought, if not now, when? So elders has been gray matter exploding with what I've learned just on the four meetings that I've been to thus far, four or five. But in mission, I'm on mission now. And that's another whole thing that I really didn't understand at all, and really enjoying. And whole different groups of people in all of this, many of which I didn't know until I got involved with that. Those are the main thing. That's enough. That's quite a few.
If anything, I have seen you so much in the best way, so involved, and it's been a blessing to see you lead, whether it's in front, beside, or behind. It's evident that you truly want to be the bread for other people on their journey as well.
The second part of my conversation with Carol then shifted to our spiritual practice for this week, prayer. In our service last Sunday, Carol spoke on behalf of the stewardship committee and challenged the congregation to be still and take time to pray and reflect on God's sacrificial love. I'll let her finish the rest.
You know, another thing I can share that I think is a really good thing, if there's anybody listening to this. One of the Wednesday mornings, Gary Holland talked about one of the things he does when he, because they live right near where the ambulances come to go to the hospital, to go to Condell. And so they hear a lot of ambulances. And every time he hears one, he says a prayer for the person inside the ambulance. I'd never done that before. It's a genius. Now I always do it. So, and that's probably a year ago he made that statement. And now it's catapulted.
Yes. Carol, you name a lot of great things to be aware of when we go into this Lenten journey. You named how to be attentive through the practice of Gary Holland and what Gary introduced to you. You named how prayer kind of shapes our heart into a compassionate state. So I'm wondering, as we close our phone call together, what do you hope for? Not just for this church, but just in general, or as we approach Lent, what are you hoping for?
I am really hoping for a conversion away from the individual, the I, and more of a we, of a connectedness for the world. We're entering this election season. We're entering into a realm of really kind of wild times that can polarize. I'm hoping that I know it might be pie in the sky because every day there's more stuff, but I'm hoping that we start to see less of a us versus them and more of a we and kind of thing. And I'm really, really hoping that first come from me, and then let it spread from whoever I interact with, so that that's something I can spread from. And there's a fair number of my friends that are there with this. I mean, there's a fair number of people that you don't get into polarizing talks about, that they respect other people's points of views, that there's not the everybody who thinks one way has this problem or that problem or this categorization and not seeing the connectedness. So that's really what I'm hoping for, is the spread of widespread listening through your heart and seeing how you're connected, seeing how we are together in this, and trying to see the God in everybody. I guess that's what I'm hoping for this spring as we emerge. Push for that.
Oh, amen, Carol. I love that hope, and I pray that those who are listening, that you can join us in Carol's hope as well.
What a hope Carol shared. For this Lenten season to be a catalyst in becoming a more communal and unified body as we anticipate a time where our unity might be challenged. This week, may we all take a moment to be still and to pray. Take time to listen to God, opening yourself, wounds and all, in pursuit of a pure heart and a steadfast spirit, as the psalmist sang in the 51st Psalm. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. And it is our hope through this campaign that these stories be spiritual bread that nourishes you in the wilderness ahead.